Good evening, everyone. It is a beautiful evening. I hope you're having the chance to get some fresh air before the sun completely goes down. Hope you had a good meal, maybe some time to rest. Chaz and I were just commenting together, like, oh, this is a long day. Now, the first day is a long day, and you're all here, so that's pretty cool. The practice this evening that we're going to do, some of you are familiar with this practice. The Pali words are Brahma-vihara, and what that means is divine home or divine abode. And there's four Brahma-viharas. I'll name them. I'll say a little bit about them, and we'll probably be working with one or two for this retreat, just so we can sink into these qualities and bathe into the practice of loving kindness, compassion. The third one is empathetic joy. I think Chaz mentioned it earlier today, where we just delight in the joy of others. And the final one, which really all the others are imbued with, is equanimity. That capacity to be present and at ease with things as they are, no matter how they are, which is not describing passivity. So a lot to be said about equanimity, but I'll just let it sit for that. Tonight we'll be working with loving kindness practice. So these practices, some retreats are taught just with these practices, not Vipassana practice at all. And they, you can really delve into them. They're powerful practices. They're considered concentration practice. And why is that? Well, because we're returning over and over again to the phrases of loving kindness or the felt sense of loving kindness. I'll explain that more. And offering that to other beings, there's categories, in Buddhist, particularly in this tradition, there's many categories of beings that, categories in Buddhist teaching. So as it's been passed down, there are categories of a easy person, which could be, just anyone that is easy for you to offer loving kindness to or offer well wishes to, someone you don't have conflict with. Sometimes people will say, well, can I do my spouse or, my sibling or one of my parents? And usually we say no in terms of easy person. And not because you have to be in full conflict with someone, but the closer we are with someone, usually we have different levels of ease and non-ease in our relating. That's part of intimacy. So easy person might be, for some it could be someone who's been very caring of you, like a therapist or spiritual teacher, or many people might pick their animals, like a dog or a cat, doesn't have to be a human. It could be someone you remember from your childhood. Just usually someone that is, you feel like you've benefited from their care in some way. So we'll start with an easy person. I'm going to say some about these particular phrases. So why do we practice in this way? Well, it's a cultivation. So a lot of people will say, well, isn't it similar to prayer? You might find that it is similar. It's wishing well, but really what it is, it's a purification of our own hearts and minds. So in some ways, no matter who you're directing this practice for, there you are with your own heart and mind and whatever is arising for that. So even though we might say, well, this is an easy person, I'm going to pick an easy category, sometimes you can hit some bumps along the way. And why is that? Well, these are, you might call them like exalted or purified states. For instance, loving kindness has both, they all do, they have near enemies and far enemies. And loving kindness, the near enemy is attachment, and the far enemy is ill will. Okay, so to say something about attachment, well, does that mean that's why you're calling an enemy? Is there something wrong with attachment? I hope not. I think we'd be in trouble if there was. It's part of being human. But like I said, when we have an attachment with another person, sometimes there's something expected in our offering of loving kindness. You know, well, I did this for this person, so I feel like they should do that for me. Or, you know, if it's someone in your family, you know, I shoveled, you know. I'd like you to do the dishes. And there's nothing wrong with that request, but you can see there's a need attached, a need to fulfill our own need, and that's part of human daily life. In these exalted practices, if you will, if these open-hearted practices, there's no need for something in return. So we're actually tapping into that capacity of the heart to not discriminate, and ultimately not to discriminate with anybody, that as we build up the strength of these practices, particularly if you're doing them intensively on a retreat, we're not on this retreat, we're introducing them to you, and you can bring them into your daily practice. We'll say more about that a little bit later and tomorrow. But what we're doing is really tapping into the capacity of heart to be non-discriminatingly kind, to not have a stipulation on what the heart can offer. And you'll recognize it when you feel it. It's a wonderful feeling because it's settled and open. And similar with compassion, we'll be loving kindness this evening. Compassion, the near enemy is pity. Interesting. Pity. So pity has a little bit of like, I'm sorry you're feeling bad, poor you, but I'm over here. When compassion is the recognition of human suffering in general, and we're not removed from that. But offering compassion to another, again, it's also not getting over-absorbed in another's suffering, or even our own. And we can offer self-compassion. There's a little bit of space. It's not getting so identified with the situation. The far enemy of compassion is cruelty. So that's self-explanatory. So I'm sure you're probably interested in the other two, so I'll say, and then we'll go back to the practice directly. So the near enemy of empathetic joy, that's a little funny translation, but it really is delighting in the happiness of others. The near enemy, this is really interesting, is over-exuberance. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that state. I certainly am. So it's almost like when we get so happy, we can get out of balance, so excited, that this, it's a bit more grounded, this delight in another's happiness. Because in delighting in another's happiness, we also understand that nothing's permanent. So, you know, this happiness that may be coming to them now, maybe they've just finished their book or just gotten into a new relationship or won the lottery. I don't know if that's a happy thing or not, but, you know, we also recognize in that things come and go in life for all of us. So there doesn't have to be a threat when another has some success. Like there's only so much that we end up getting into trouble with it. So you can guess what the far enemy is. It's jealousy. The near enemy of empathetic joy is envy, and the far enemy is jealousy. Yeah, we could split hairs about envy and jealousy, but let's just let that sit. I'm just giving you a little bit of the information here. Envy may not be as aversive in the heart, probably. And with equanimity, the near enemy is indifference. So sometimes it can feel like a cool state when we recognize things are as they are. But it can veer into indifference. There's more aversion in that. And the far enemy, is it attachment, Chaz? Do you know the far enemy of equanimity? Well, that's indifference, yeah, right? I think the far enemy is also attachment, because if you think about that, it's wanting something to be a certain way. And with equanimity, there's really the quality of the heart where it accepts this is how life is. It doesn't mean we don't act or engage in our lives. But these are powerful practices. And certainly if you want to learn more about them, off retreat, there's plenty of teachings online. Sharon Salzberg's written several books that have guided practices in them. So it's something you can explore more in your life. And I find this practice, particularly loving kindness, really helpful, like to do in 5-minute stints, you know, when I'm going to bed at night, when I wake up in the morning, when I'm in my car at a stoplight. You know, you can really, Chaz was talking today about, interesting in his talk about that feeling like you waste time. And I think a lot of us can feel that way when we're waiting, you know, as you want to get something done. Well, you can do this practice anywhere. And it's very uplifting for the heart. So the way it's taught, as I said, it's a concentration practice and there's phrases, and again, if you will offer some phrases to you, you may find these phrases are suitable for you, or you may have other phrases. It's best to keep them simple, and they're repeated. So we go back over, and that's where the concentration practice comes in. Go back over them again. So it also helps guard against going on a long thought train about the person or yourself or your relationship. Just come back to the phrases. Now, some of us will really resonate with phrases, with the words. Others might resonate with the felt sense. So when I lead it, I'm going to offer both of those, the felt sense or the sense in your body. And some, it really is helpful to have an image of the person in your mind or the animal, whoever you're, the object of your phrases are for. So if that feels like a lot of information, just drop it. And find a comfortable spot. So if you need to adjust your posture, feel free to do that. It's important to practice this in a relaxed posture. And just, in your own time, just call to mind someone who's an easy person for you to wish them well. Or an easy being, like your dog or maybe a being that hasn't quite yet arrived, but is on its way. It's helpful to pick someone who's living. or about to be born. And if you have more than one person, sometimes there can be a clamoring. You can just start with one. And in your mind's eye, just getting an image of this person, if you can, or this being. Maybe you just see them in their daily life some way, or you see them as you had a recent or even past conversation with. And perhaps also you might just feel into your heart space, however you identify with that. Maybe there's a sense of warmth for this being, or some physical sensation in recognizing them. And if any of the suggestions I'm making don't come to you easily, go to whatever is easiest. So maybe that just the image of that might be easy. Might be easier than the felt sense. It's not, you don't have to get this perfect. So maybe take a little bit of time right now just to take a few deep breaths, relax in your body. And I'm going to offer three phrases. And just see if that feels natural for you to offer these phrases to this being. And if you know this being is having some difficulty in their life by any reason, these phrases aren't meant to, like, may you stop drinking. No, if it's someone that you're really hoping that for, there's nothing wrong with wishing that for someone who you know is struggling. But it's not asking for some specific wish. It's just offering your kind, caring heart a wish of well-being. So as this being comes to your mind, in your own cadence, may you be safe and protected from harm. Offering that wish, may you be safe and protected from harm, inwardly and outwardly. May you be peaceful and happy. May you live with ease. May you be safe and protected from harm, inwardly and outwardly. May you be happy and peaceful. May you live with ease. So just taking some time now on your own with these phrases, I'll repeat them again, or the felt sense, or the image, and just staying with it. Now you can go at your own cadence, but staying with offering this being these wishes of well-being. May you be safe and protected from harm, inwardly and outwardly. May you be happy and peaceful. May you live with ease. Just in your own pacing, connecting with the phrase as best you can, sensing this other being, and just come back to repeating the phrases. And if you find that your mind wanders or gets distracted, it will. And just come back again. Come back to your body. Reconnect with your own body, breath, and begin again. safe and protected, happy and peaceful, ease. You can continue on in that way with this easy person. I'm also going to offer another suggestion that you might lean into or try. It could be this very person, or it could be someone else. In this case, it also could be someone who's passed on. To think of, come to mind someone who you feel has loved you well, who has your back or had your back, it could be, again, it could be one of your animals. I think of my grandmother, who's not been in a physical form for 45, 46 years, and she still comes to me. But she just had that unconditional love. So we may know a being in that way. And imagine them, you know, either gazing on you or maybe at your back, literally. Supporting your back. And see if you can receive the wish from them. May you be safe and protected. May you be happy and peaceful. May you live with ease. And maybe they wouldn't use those words. Maybe you see it in the warmth of their face, smile. See if you can receive that just gently. Can we steep in that in some way? And if you can't, it's really okay. Sometimes one can feel the complete opposite in doing this practice. And if that's happening for you, no worries at all. My teacher Sharon used to call it a purification practice, like part of what can come up in it is the opposite sometimes. if you want to stay with where you are right now in this practice, it's fine. And in these last 5 minutes of this practice together, if you'd like, just in this small reflection of where your mind and heart has traveled today, without going into specifics, just recognizing the ups and the downs and the, I think I'm going home to, you know, I'm going to stay for another month to, I don't really get what this is about, to maybe a moment of quiet. You know, the whole range. Just recognizing that as this being human. And that if that's been happening for you, it's most likely been happening in some version for every other being that's sitting on this retreat. So if you'd like to just offer that wish of well-being to those around you. Now, if that feels like too forced or too much of a stretch, no worries. You don't need to force that. But if it feels natural, just wishing wishing this Sangha well, these beings around you. And just as I wish to be safe and protected, so may you be safe and protected from harm inwardly, outwardly. Just as I wish for peace and happiness in my heart, I wish that for you. And just as I wish to live with ease, so too may you live with ease in your being. In whatever way naturally you feel that. Taking a moment to reflect on, remember, receive that just as you're offering this well-wishing, you're receiving it as well, that others are offering this for you right now. That actually we're in a field of care. And in that field of care, taking the time to connect with your own body right now. Just feeling the sense of contact, cushion or chair, or bench, maybe the touch of your hands, movement of breath. May all beings be held in the field of loving kindness. Thank you. So if, as I said, and in guiding this, if sometimes it can bring up all kinds of responses or feelings, and there'll be opportunities, you know, in your small groups to discuss it if you want, or in the question and answer time tomorrow. So now we have the opportunity for walking meditation, and if you'd like, you can actually just continue this practice in that way, in whatever way, if you want to kind of continue it for yourself or the easy being, or you know, if it can be very lovely to be in one of the walking spaces outside or inside, and just, you know, gently offer that to the beings around you. You know, your own pace, your own cadence. You know, if it starts to feel forced, you just take a breath, stand still for a minute, and just begin again. There's no right way, really. It's tuning into your own natural open-heartedness. So enjoy the walking. It's worth it. We'll see you again at 7:45. So it's a short walking. Ooh, more inspiration to do the walking meditation, right? Okay, see you then.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.